When you are genuinely saved, it changes the way you see people. We don't see people as statistics. We don't see them as numbers. We don't see them as things or objects. We don't see people as adversaries or enemies. We don't see them as consumers or customers. We see them as priceless souls that Jesus shed his precious blood for. They are valuable to God.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Most of the time, when you think of passing on a legacy, you think of leaving something to your loved ones. Money, a classic car, your home, jewelry, or maybe a family heirloom. Those are all nice things, but no thing lasts forever. Wouldn't you like to leave behind an inheritance that lasts into eternity? Today, as we bring our series called Leaving a Lasting Legacy to a close, Pastor Rick will wrap up his look at six indispensable biblical principles you need to pass on to the next generation to ensure their spiritual success, your legacy that will last into eternity. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Living by Your Convictions.
Right now, there are people around the world in other countries who would love to blow up this nation. They would love to obliterate you and every other American off the face of the earth. They're enemies. I've been around the world, and there is real evil in the world. There is. And you do have enemies. But God says, love your enemies. Now, notice two results of that. Look there on your outline. What happens when you love your enemies? Well, first it says you get a great reward. It says you will have a great reward. Every time you love on earth, you get a reward in heaven. Because God is wanting you to learn how to love. It's easy to love people like you, as I said. But when you love the unlovely, God says you get a reward in heaven. The second thing, not only a great reward, he said you get a good reputation. He said you will be the children of the Most High God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Now, the implication of this, if I'm supposed to love everybody, including my enemies, the implication is I must show respect to everyone. Even the people I don't think are worthy of respect. I must show respect and dignity to everyone. And it's commanded over and over in Scripture because respect is one way of showing love. 1 Peter 2:17. I'd like for you to read this verse aloud with me. Show respect for everyone. Love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God. Show respect for the king. That's pretty clear. By the way, that last phrase, he's just talking about leadership. Show respect for the king. That doesn't mean only if he's a part of your party. It means you should honor authority whether it's your party or not. By the way, when Peter wrote this, show the respect for the king, do you know who the king was? He was a wacko named Nero. Nero. That's the guy who's hanging Christians on stakes and putting them with tar and burning them and lighting Rome with the bodies of Christians. And Peter says, oh, and by the way, show respect for the king. The guy who's killing us? Yes. Because this is a test. I'm tested. Are you going to love like Jesus? Now, I got to be honest with you, friends. This isn't easy. There are a lot of people in the world I don't want to respect. There are a lot of people I have a hard time respecting. I've been invited to some of these big enclaves of so-called intelligent people, and they're talking, and I'll hear an idea propounded and set forth, and I'm going, that is the stupidest idea I've ever heard. And I'm going, come on, you cannot possibly believe that. It's not rational, it's not logical, it doesn't make sense. Follow it to its logical conclusion. And I mean, some people are so open-minded, their brains fall out. You know, and they think they're being open-minded. It's just like they lost their brains somewhere back on the track. And you want to go, how could you be so dumb? When people are running from God, it's amazing the mental gymnastics they go through to avoid him. And there's some people I just don't want to respect. But God says, you got to, Rick. You got to treat him with dignity. You got to treat him with respect. And you've got to love them. In fact, even when you don't agree with him. Even when you disagree without being disagreeable. Notice what the Bible says. First Peter, be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope that you have. In other words, you need to be able to share your convictions, but do it with gentleness and respect. He's not saying, now what this means is to go out here and everybody just say, oh, we're all the same. We're not. When you have convictions, there are some things that are always right and there are some things that are always wrong. And it's to just paste over all of our difference in the world, say, well, let's all just believe the same thing. Well, that's not going to happen. He's saying, even when you oppose somebody, you oppose them with respect and dignity. And you don't demean them. Just because somebody believes something different from you does not give you a right to demonize them. You don't have a, if you call yourself a Christian, you can't resort to the politics of destruction and just put people down and call them names. That's wrong, friend. Now he's saying you don't have to deny your convictions, but do it with gentleness and respect. What we need is a coalition of civility. A coalition of civility. Civility means that I treat you with respect, even though I totally disagree with you. And I may say, I disagree with you on this, 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 and this, but I'm not going to call you names, and I'm not going to put you down, and I'm not going to demean you because you were created in the image of God. Does that make sense? That's civility. And you know what the problem is today? Our civilization has lost civility. We're not very civil anymore in our civilization. There are people just yelling at each other and screaming at each other and calling each other names, and the media has made it worse. It's great fun to watch, but it's creating a culture of incivility. And if it's ever going to be brought back, it's going to have to be Christians who do it. By treating people we disagree with, even when they totally disagree with what we believe in the Word of God, with respect. Now let me tell you this. Even when you give love out, you will still be opposed. Look at what Jesus said. John 15, when the world hates you, remember that it hated me before it hated you. The world would love you if you belong to it, but you don't. See, Jesus was perfect love and they still killed him. So why aren't we discouraged? When critics and complaints and pundits attack Saddleback or attack me or anything like that, why aren't we discouraged by that? Look at this verse. Psalm 76:10, human opposition only enhances your glory. Even God gets glory in this. Why? When we respond in love to enemy, when we respond in love to hatred, in love to criticism, God gets glory. It's a test. And Jesus just says, our job is to keep on loving like Jesus. Keep on loving like Jesus did, loving like Jesus did, loving like Jesus, no matter what people say or do, we're going to love like Jesus did. Now here's the fourth conviction that I base my life on and everything that I do and say, and we base everything here at Saddleback, and it's this: the whole world needs Jesus. The whole world needs Jesus. And Jesus said this very clearly over and over, but in Matthew 28, we have the Great Commission. And he says there, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Now, this is an extremely important verse to understand Saddleback Church. It has five truths in it I don't want you to miss. First, notice it says our assignment. What is our assignment? It is go. He says go. Now, notice this is not a suggestion. This is not the great suggestion. This is the Great Commission. It's not optional. If you claim to be a child of God, if you're in God's family, God says to you, go. I expect you to go. That's the assignment. Now, what's the task? Go and make disciples. Well, what's a disciple? Well, let me give you a modern synonym for disciple: living a purpose-driven life. Purpose-driven life, as you know, talks about five things: knowing and loving God, growing to spiritual maturity, serving God with my shape through ministry, sharing God and the good news and worshiping God with all my heart. That's called being a disciple. The purpose-driven life is just a new word for being a disciple. It just means doing the five things God put you here on this planet to do. Our assignment is go. Our task is make disciples. What's our authority? Not some government, not the CIA. It's Jesus. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And what's our responsibility? Go and make disciples of some nations. Now, what's it say? What? All nations. Does that include Syria? Yes. Does that include North Korea? Yes. Does that include Iran? Yes. There is no off-limits nation. I'm sorry, I report to a higher authority. His name is Jesus Christ. And I'm not a politician, I'm a pastor. And if Iran opens the door, I'm going. I'm just telling you, as your pastor, there is no place I won't go. I'd go into hell if I could bring people out with me. There is no place I would not go.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
It's no secret that the spiritual and moral foundation that built our country is crumbling to the core. Our nation is deteriorating, and many people are without hope. We need a dramatic awakening in our nation to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across our country and around the globe. That's why we want to invite you to work shoulder to shoulder with us in bringing our nation back from the brink by investing monthly as a partner in hope. Your sustained monthly support will help us continue to broadcast the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation, on the air and online. And to say thanks when you give monthly to Daily Hope, Rick has asked us to send you a signed copy of the hardback gift edition of his devotional book, Daily Inspiration for the Purpose-Driven Life. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004 today. Or by visiting rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
You know, Billy Graham, 30 years ago, went to the Soviet Union when Brezhnev was still the premier and communism had its death grip on the Soviet Union. And he went in and he treated the leaders of communist Russia with respect. And he was kind to them, and he was polite, and he actually showed love to them. And when he came out, he was ruthlessly criticized by both the left and the right as being a pawn, being used. One well-known critic said of Billy Graham, "You have set the church back 50 years." Billy Graham, I remember, bowed his head, and he said, "Well, I'm so ashamed. I was trying to set it back 2,000. Why are we taking on the peace plan? What makes us think that Saddleback Church could lead other churches to go out and take on the five biggest problems in the world? Spiritual emptiness, corrupt leadership, poverty, disease, and illiteracy. Why? It's not confidence in ourselves. It's the confidence we have from this verse. Our confidence is this: I will be with you always. I'll go anywhere if God goes with me. There's no place I'm afraid to go if God is with me. Now, what's the implication for you? If the whole world needs Jesus, here's the implication. I must share the good news. I must share it. And to keep it a secret would be criminal. If you knew the cure for Alzheimer's and you didn't share it, that'd be criminal. If you knew the cure for AIDS or for autism or for cancer and you didn't pass it on, they should put you in jail for criminal negligence. But we have something better than that. We know the cure for the human heart. We know the cure for the deepest needs of mankind. They need a savior. They need forgiveness. They need their past forgiven, a purpose for living, and a home in heaven. And we cannot hold it back. We have to share it. Jesus said in John 3:17, I did not come to condemn the world. I came to save it. I want to be like Jesus. I want you to be like Jesus. I didn't come to condemn this world. I came to save it. I wish more Christians would stop judging the world and criticizing the world and start saving it. You're either going to do one or the other. Stop judging the world and being so critical and just get busy sharing the good news. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 5. As Christ's love compels us, Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Friends, when you get saved, I mean really saved, when you're really saved, you can know it two ways. Your priorities change and your perspective change. If that didn't happen, you should doubt whether you're saved or not. It changes your priorities and your perspective. First, your priorities change. You no longer live for yourself. I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm living for Jesus Christ. And then your perspective changes. We no longer regard people the way we used to. We regard no one from a worldly point of view. How does the world look at people? It treats them as objects. Politicians look at people and see votes. Business leaders look at people and see consumers and customers. Men look at women and see sex objects. It treats people as things. When you are genuinely saved, it changes the way you see people. We don't see people as statistics. We don't see them as numbers. We don't see them as things or objects. We don't see people as adversaries or enemies. We don't see them as consumers or customers. We see them as priceless souls that Jesus shed his precious blood for. And they're worthwhile and they're valuable, of infinite value. So much that Jesus said, this is how valuable they are. And I don't care if it's a coke, smoking, crack junkie in the alley. They are valuable to God. And we must look at people not as objects, but with a broken heart. We stop using people and we start loving people. Now, what's the opposition? Because there is opposition to you sharing your faith. There are people trying to make it illegal for you to share your faith at work. There are people trying to make it illegal to share your faith at school and in the grocery store and everywhere else. What's the opposition? Well, the answer is Satan. He's the opposition. Satan and his evil forces. And the Bible says this, look on the screen. For we're not fighting against human beings, but against wicked forces, spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers and the authorities and the cosmic powers of this dark age. So put on God's armor now, so you will be able to resist the enemy's attacks. He says, I want you to be able to understand, you're not fighting against critics and pundits. You're fighting against Satan. And ladies and gentlemen, we are in a battle for the lives of billions of people and the eternal destinies of billions of people. And if you think you were coming to a picnic, you're sorely misguided. The picnic comes later. It's going to happen in eternity. Now is the battle. I don't know if you've noticed how many anti-Christian books are coming out in the recent days, but a lot of them. I collect them, and about five or six of them have come out just in the last month. And I don't know if you noticed on the covers of magazines, for instance, last week, the cover of Newsweek was the cross wrapped in an American flag, and it said, "The Politics of Jesus." Now, that's what Americans saw, but I happen to be overseas, and everywhere overseas, the cover looked like this. America's God complex. As if, when is America going to get over its hang up with God? America's God Complex. And this week in Time magazine, the cover is God versus Science. Friends, we can't sit on the sideline on a debate like that. We have to engage, but we will do it with gentleness and we will do it with respect. How do you respond to forces that don't want us to share the good news? Well, Jesus said this. He ended the Beatitudes by saying, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." He says this, when you go to work and you get harassed for being a Christian, don't hate, celebrate. When you go to school and you get put down for being a Christian, don't hate, celebrate. When you go play on a ball team and somebody makes fun of you as being a Jesus believer or something, don't hate, celebrate. Why? Great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. Have a little spine. Be a man, be a woman, and stand up for the convictions that you believe. The fact is, friends, these are the most exciting days to be alive ever in the history of the world. God is at work in the 21st century more than in any other century. Did you know that one out of every three people on the earth is a believer in Jesus Christ? 2.3 billion people claim to be a follower of Christ. Nothing as big as the church. It's the biggest organization in the world. Nothing is bigger. Did you know that the largest churches in history are in existence now? By the way, none of them are in America. I've been in churches that are 100,000, 200,000, 300,000. I preached in a church with 500,000 members. They're all in Africa and Asia and South America. Did you know that in China every week about 80,000 people give their lives to Christ? 80,000 a week. We are on the verge of an enormous spiritual awakening. I so badly, as your pastor, want you to see this, because it's happening. More than that, I want you to be a part of it.
Pastor Rick Warren with a powerful look at what it means to leave a lasting legacy. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to rickwarren.org and listen online anytime or download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. That's rickwarren.org. Pastor Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. It's no secret that the spiritual and moral foundation that built our country is crumbling to the core. Our nation is deteriorating, and many people are without hope. We need a dramatic awakening in our nation to save our people and restore them to spiritual health. If you share this burden, we would deeply appreciate your support in taking Pastor Rick's Daily Hope broadcast to hopeless and hurting people across the country and around the globe. That's why we want to invite you to work shoulder to shoulder with us in bringing our nation back from the brink by investing monthly as a partner in hope. Your sustained monthly support will help us continue to broadcast the life-transforming message of the gospel across our nation, on the air and online. And to say thanks when you give monthly to Daily Hope, Pastor Rick has asked us to send you a signed copy of the hardback gift edition of his devotional book, Daily Inspiration for the Purpose-Driven Life. So if you feel led to become a partner in hope, please let us know by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or by visiting www.rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope will help us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
The Bible says we can look forward with hope to the wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to be revealed. Imagine what that day is going to be like. That's the hope we stand on. And that's our daily hope. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear from you. You can write me, rick@rickwarren.org. And if you want to send in a financial gift to help us continue this ministry and even expand it, I would deeply appreciate it. God bless you. I love you. I'm praying for you. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.